the second time this year, hundreds of Sydney residents have been evacuated from a high-rise building due to structural concerns. The evacuation of 130 apartments at Sydney's Mascot Towers comes after 3,000 residents were asked to leave the Opal Tower in Sydney's Olympic Park last year, The latest incident has reignited a debate around building safety across Australia, with state and territory building ministers due to meet next month with their federal counterpart, Karen Andrews. The Federal Industry Minister has been calling for all states to adopt the recommendations of a 2018 report calling for tougher regulation of the commercial building industry. Lawyer Bronwyn Weir is the co-author of this report. Bronwyn, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
Now, you handed this report more than a year ago to state governments. We've seen two mass evacuations from apartment blocks in Sydney in around 6 months. Can people have confidence in Australia's building standards right now?
Unfortunately, no, they can't.
And why not? I mean, this is at a time when we've got apartments going up all over the place. There's been 114,000 built in Sydney in the past 5 years. And, you know, all the other states too are putting them up. Are you concerned that there's more apartment towers at risk of cracking?
Well, this one's over 10 years old, and whilst the causes aren't yet known, it does seem to have been quite a vulnerable building, and, you know, that's 10 years ago that was built, so it doesn't surprise me that we might still find many buildings with major issues.
In the Northern Territory, there's concerns over the safety of 9 high-rise buildings there, flagged as non-compliant. I mean, do state governments know, is anyone checking in the wake of some of these terrible incidents, the compliance of buildings? How does that happen?
Well, I'm not sure what they've done since our report, but certainly they're checking in relation to cladding and those sorts of things as ongoing audits. But in terms of broader checking, it's not clear to me that that's happening. One of our recommendations was that each government publish a strategy for auditing the commercial sector buildings, and that they report on that strategy publicly so that the public can have confidence that there's oversight. So that's part of the package of recommendations that we made to try to build confidence again in the sector.
Your report had 24 recommendations. We spoke about this a few months ago. They were, you know, you urged them to be implemented within 3 years, which suggested you and the other authors saw some urgency to this. No state or territory has so far adopted them in full. Have any of them been adopted?
Not that I'm aware of, no. None. I haven't seen any bills come out which address specifically our recommendations. The governments have released an implementation plan back in March, in which, you know, there is varying degrees of acceptance and proposals for adoption, but we get to see a bill come through that focuses on our recommendations.
Why do you think this is, Bronwyn? Do you think your recommendations were too ambitious, or the governments are just not focused enough?
They're an ambitious package, there's no doubt about that. And I think what I hope is that it's causing governments to sit down and really think about reform, and that it has to be quite significant reform.
And have you seen that work going on? Are you aware of that?
Well, certainly New South Wales says that's what they're doing. I'm not engaged by any of the states and territories on their programs. I believe Victoria's looking very closely, but it's, that's what I've heard. I don't know exactly what's happening, but I believe there's work happening, but it does seem quite slow for the public.
The President of Building Designers Australia, Chris Nearham, says improving the registration of the building professions is top of the list when it comes to better building outcomes. Do you agree with that? What needs to be done there?
Yes, we recommended key categories of practitioner be registered in each state and territory. Some states already meet that recommendations. Queensland in particular has a number of categories of registration.
But it's what does it mean that some aren't registered? What, you don't have to register to be what, a surveyor?
Surveyors are registered in all the states and territories. In New South Wales, if you're building commercial buildings, not residential commercial, but other sorts of commercial buildings, you don't need to be registered. That's quite a significant gap in the New South Wales framework. So you can build an aged care building or a childcare building in a private sector building in New South Wales, and you don't need to be a registered builder.
Seems incredible. One of your key recommendations, I think we spoke about this last time, was about private building surveyors and the need for more independence from the developer and the builder in this sector. Why is that important, and has there been any improvement on that front that you're aware of since the Opal building catastrophe?
New South Wales did bring in some reforms last year, or they were focused on responding to the Lambert Report, which was a report done in New South Wales in 2015. They didn't reference our report or focus on compliance or implementation of our recommendations. So we've not seen a major shift in relation to private surveyors. The problem there is they're inherently, the models that we have are inherently perceptions of conflict of interest. So we made a number of recommendations to try to address that.
What's the danger of not having independence in this sector?
Well, it means that potentially not just certifiers but other designers are, I guess, consumed by the commercial interests of their clients rather than acting in the interests of the public in a more assertive way. And that certainly seems to be the perception.
So to translate that, does that mean sort of cost and design could be paramount over engineering structural integrity?
That's exactly right. I mean, there is this thing called value engineering where as the project's the design is being developed, there is a strong desire to cut cost, and so engineers are asked to find ways to design the building with cheaper construction costs, and that can sometimes have a compromise on safety, or they can choose designs which are cheaper to build but more expensive to maintain. And there certainly was a lot of reports to us around those sorts of practices.
Chris Nearham, to quote him again, for Building Designers Australia, says the industry has become lazy when it comes to safety because it's under pressure. New South Wales will have tens of thousands more apartments over the next 5 years. There have been apartment booms in Brisbane and Melbourne. Are builders cutting corners and developers cutting corners just to get the properties on the market?
Well, they are, and there's a real lack of transparency. This is the issue. There hasn't been oversight and scrutiny on the industry sufficiently to really call out these practices, and lots of things get hidden in walls and under floors, and nobody knows what's there, really, until there's some major indication that there's a problem, as there has been with the Opal and more recently Mascot.
I'm happy to accept I'm naive, but this, and I remember having this feeling when I spoke with you last time, Bronwyn, this seems incredible to me and incredibly dangerous to me that we just don't have this oversight, we don't have this regulation. You did call for an independent commission to investigate standards in the construction sector. Would that be the best place to start?
Look, that's not been my call. I think the designer representative you've mentioned was calling for that. I mean, we have done a comprehensive review. Does there need to be another inquiry? I'd like to think not. I mean, the inquiries are even more damaging to the industry. I think government knows enough that it needs to get on and recalibrate this sector in a strong way and send a strong message. I actually would not be in favour of another inquiry or another commission.
Oh, I thought it might be like a standing body. The Federal Minister, Karen Andrews, wants states and territories to adopt the recommendations of your report. She's made that clear. They're going to meet again next month. What could or should the federal government do to make sure that happens?
There's a lot the federal government can do. I mean, the industry called very strongly for more harmonised regulation across the country. And if states and territories are looking at major reform, they should be doing it in a harmonised way. And I think Commonwealth could lead on that and could provide assistance in more ways than one.
Is it doing that?
I can't say, Fran. I haven't been at the meetings. I don't know for sure what offers of assistance have been made. I mean, we certainly made recommendations that this be done in a coordinated and collaborative way. I think there is a level of that happening, but it's too early to say whether that we're going to see better harmonisation in this process.
I'm not sure if this is your area, but what about consumer protections? Because, you know, there's a joke that you can get a better warranty on your white goods than you can on your million-dollar apartment. Building defects are covered for 6 years. This apartment block, for instance, in Sydney is 10 years old, as you said. There's also calls for governments to make sure owners get the right to sue for negligence. Do you have any recommendations on this front?
We didn't make specific... Well, we made some recommendations about there being statutory duties on designers. There are existing duties on builders to build correctly, but there are limits on that. So each state and territory has a 10-year limit. There's then the warranties, which have limits on them as well. And part of this is trying to balance interest from the insurance market to support the industry, which is really important, and that is quite precarious at the moment. There already is is no warranty insurance product for buildings over three storey, and there's been lots of media and attention recently to professional indemnity insurance for the consultants becoming quite precarious and insurers pulling out of that market. So it is a delicate balance. Governments can make people responsible and liable, but if there's not an insurance product or governments don't put up some sort of insurance regime to support it, the accountability is pretty limited.
So there's a lot of urgent work to be done on that COAG meeting, ministerial meeting next month. Bronwyn, thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bronwyn Weir is a lawyer, and along with Peter Shergold, who's currently the Chancellor of the University of Western Sydney, she produced this landmark report recommending a major crackdown on the nation's building industry. 24 recommendations. It was handed to governments at the beginning of last year. Nothing has happened yet.